Dear friends in Jesus Christ, as we come near the Christmas season, we begin to think about temporal things. What can I purchase for someone? Sometimes temporal things, they catch our attention. For example, last week there was a snowstorm, and as we think about the storm, it caught the attention of a number of our members, and they thought, oh, I better not go to church because there's a snowstorm. So it was successful in catching their attention. Or maybe the one that's more pertinent for now, what about the big red tag sale, and it's at your favorite store, and maybe they say 80% off. Wow, you're going to get there because you want to get a good deal. So there are things that catch our attention. When they do catch our attention, we react to them, like maybe not driving in the snow or maybe going to the store with the big sale. Well, today with our gospel reading, we are looking at the story, the Christmas story, according to Matthew. And as we do so, I believe that God is trying to catch our attention in certain ways. He's trying to catch our attention to cause us to stop and think, to help us know he will keep every single promise, no matter how impossible some of them seem. He's trying to catch our attention to grip us to the core regarding death and hell. We don't even want to think about that stuff, but yet it's true. It's in the Bible. It's coming. God wants to catch our attention about that. He also wants to catch our attention to make us open to repenting and believing. I hope everyone here is all set in these categories, that we are right with God, we are living our lives moment by moment, repenting and believing, and we know everything is fine, but we know we live in a world where many people are in trouble. He's also trying to catch our attention here to move us to celebrate a Christ-centered Christmas. We have multitudes who are celebrating, and it has absolutely nothing to do with the Christ. So let's do everything we can to make it Christ-centered, and let's encourage others to do the very same. And as we have opportunity, let's tell people why we are celebrating the Christ. I mean, with him, we have life in heaven. Without him, we have death in hell. That's a good reason to be able to celebrate the Christ. Well, going on here, I want to take a look at the gospel reading today. We're in Matthew chapter 1, picking up in verse 18. And I divided it up into six parts, so I want to state a word that's kind of giving us an idea of what we have in that section. Then I'll say a little bit more about what the Bible says. So first of all, picking up in verse 18, now the birth of Jesus the Messiah was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Now we've heard that like over and over again, but you've got to think about what's going on there. Boy, is that a packed sentence. So first of all, betrothed. I want to share with you a quote here from Lenski. He's telling us what it means to be betrothed. Now, we're used to the word engaged, but I want you to understand here, engagement in America today is significantly different than being betrothed back at the time of Joseph and Mary. So he wrote, the Jewish betrothal was a solemn promise before witnesses embodying the essentials of the marriage vow. And then he adds here, no further promises followed. So in other words, once they were betrothed, essentially they were married. So you can see how that's different than engagement today. And then it says before they came together. So when someone was betrothed, that meant that really you were married, but there was a time period, generally about 12 months, where you're betrothed here, and then you move in together here. Why 12 months? Well, in some cases, maybe it was to make sure the woman was not already pregnant. 12 months, you're going to find out during that period of time. During that time, what was stipulated during the 12-month period, they were not to live together and they were not to have sexual relations. That would be in agreement with the Bible. Boy, don't we live in a whole different world today? And then the Bible tells us that she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So think about this. Here is Mary. She knows she is pregnant. She knows how it happened. She knows she was not with another man. And yet, who's going to believe that story? I mean, she can tell that all day, and who's going to believe that story? Let's understand, too, that according to what the Bible says, she could have been put to death. You can take a look at it in Deuteronomy. It should be easy to remember the reference. So it's chapter 22, and then verses 23 and 24. So 22, 23, 24. Look that up in Deuteronomy, and you'll see what it says. Well, trying to make application to today, think about this. Sadly, in the United States, at least 70% of people choose prior to marriage to live in sin. In other words, they're living under the same roof and they're having sexual relations. And what are they doing when they do that? They're placing themselves under God's divine judgment. Now, there are some people that would say, well, I know it's not right, but everybody's doing it, so we're going to proceed in that way. And then they get this idea that when they finally get married, that that's making it right. Is that what's going on? Does that make them right with God when they finally get married? It doesn't. So we might applaud them when they do finally get married, but repentance has to be a change of heart, not a change of outward circumstances. So it's a tough thing. There are probably plenty of churches that wouldn't even bring this up because they're like, we have a whole bunch of people who are living like this and we don't want to hurt their feelings. But I say it though out of love, because if you look at what the Bible says that people who live in that way and who do not repent, they are lost forever. So it is such a serious matter. Again, I say it out of love. And then going on to the second part here, we have a dangerous situation. The Bible says her husband Joseph, since he was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. So Joseph being a righteous man, what does that mean? That meant that he was an Old Testament believer. So he was believing in the coming Messiah, and he was doing the best he could to live according to the Word of God. How are we today? We are believing in the Messiah who has come, who has completed his work, and now, as followers of Jesus, we're trying to know the Bible as best we can and put it into practice in our lives. That's what it means to be a Christian. And then he did not want to disgrace her. Now, think about this. It would have been bad enough if during the time where they were not supposed to be together, let's say that Joseph and Mary were together and she got pregnant. Now, that would not be a good situation, but wouldn't it be much worse, though? Here they are engaged, and then Mary goes off with some other man and she gets pregnant by him. That would have been much worse. Think about Joseph. What else can Joseph conclude? He's thinking, I have promised to be with this woman for the rest of my life. She has made the promise to me. I have not been with her. There's only one other option. That means that she had to be with another man. Can you imagine how Joseph would have been feeling? And it would have been right for Joseph to make this known in his community, and that could have brought great harm and even death upon Mary. But what did he do, though? He planned to, well, here it says, planned to send her away secretly, but sometimes here in the text it will say he planned to divorce her secretly. So that betrothal was equivalent to marriage. And then in the next section here, we come to explanation. But when he had thought this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So when we think about the statement, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, the angel was saying, I know the situation better than you know the situation, and I'm here to tell you that though it makes perfect sense that she has been with another man, I'm here to tell you that is not the case. The child in her is not from another man. Now, we don't know if this was Gabriel or not. The angel is not named. Most likely it was Gabriel, but again, the Bible does not tell us here. And then the text said, the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now, when Joseph heard that information, did he understand that? He's like, oh, that's one of those Holy Spirit things. I know about how that works. No, this is something like never ever before. So it's something completely out there that nobody knows about. But did you catch what happened though? So Joseph hears it. He doesn't understand it really. I don't know if you understand it. I don't really understand it either. But he hears it and he believes it. So here's another application for us. Let us always trust God's word, even when we cannot fully understand it. So that's what Joseph did with the message from the angel. God wants us to do the same with everything in the Bible. See, that would be childlike faith. When we're older, we're like, well, I'm not going to believe that unless I can understand it. What about a child? A child believes anything we tell him or her. That's childlike faith. That's what God wants us to have. Now, not about everything in the world, but he wants us to have childlike faith when it comes to all the contents of the Bible. So important. And then we come to the word wonderful. This is the key verse here. She will give birth to a son, the angel said, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So as we think about Mary, Mary had a very important role here, but like any other mom, she was to carry the baby to term, she was to give birth to the baby, and she was to raise this baby into a child, into a teenager, all the way to adulthood, we might say. So that was her role. Now God chose her above every other woman in the world to do that. But at the same time, though, we believe she was simply an Old Testament believer in the coming Messiah. She was a Old Testament Christian. She was a humble woman. But what made her special, though, is not equality in her. What made her special is God's choice of her. So it wasn't something from her to God, but it was something from God to her. It's important that we keep that in mind. What about with Joseph? Joseph was not the actual father of Jesus, but he was the legal father. So Joseph had the right to give the child the name, and he was instructed to give him the name Jesus. And then what about Jesus? He has the big responsibility here. Jesus, he is the very Son of God in human flesh, so he was given the task of perfectly following God's will, and by doing that, he became the perfect substitute for you, for me, for everyone. And then he was to permit sinful people like you and me to seize him, to arrest him, to beat him, and to crucify him. So that was all involved in his task. And when his work was done, he laid down his life. No one took it from him. And keep in mind, he did all of it for the purpose of taking away our sins, even the sins of the world. So whenever we think about having Jesus, We don't have him as a good luck charm. We don't have him necessarily to help us get a job. We don't have him necessarily to help us when we're sick. We don't have him necessarily to keep us safe on a trip. But we have him because he is the one who has taken away our sins. And that is what we need in order to be with God forever. So let's be trusting in him for all things, but especially for the one who took away our sins. And then we come to fulfillment here. So this is where we connect in the prophecy in the Old Testament with the fulfillment here in the New Testament. The Bible says, "Now all this took place so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which translated means God with us." So the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. That's a quote there from Isaiah chapter 7. So what was going on there? You have to get back into the history of it a little bit. So we have King Ahaz. He's the king in the southern kingdom. But we have the king in the northern kingdom and also the king of Aram, and they're getting together and they're going to attack the southern kingdom. And the Bible tells us that Ahaz and the people of the southern kingdom, they were, we could say, scared to death about these enemies. So what God is doing is God is trying to give King Ahaz some assurance that he doesn't have to worry. So what he says is there's going to be a virgin woman here in the southern kingdom. Very soon, she's going to conceive and have a child. And before that child is weaned, I'm going to take care of those enemies in the north, and they're never going to be a problem. So that is like the immediate fulfillment of what's going on in the Old Testament, but is pointing ahead to the greater fulfillment that we have here. So when it talks about they shall name him Emmanuel, that's pointing ahead about 700 years to the time when the Virgin Mary would conceive, not in the normal way, but she would conceive by the Holy Spirit, and her son would be named Jesus. But when we think about Jesus, he has about 100 different names, and one of his names is Emmanuel, because he is God with us, and he's with us for the purpose of saving us, like I've already stated. Well, it is important we ask ourselves the question, do I believe it? So there's one thing that we believe it intellectually in our minds, but do we believe it in our heart? Is Jesus the one that we are trusting in for heaven? So it's so easy for that to happen where people have the head knowledge, but they don't believe it in their heart. It's so important that we go from the head to the heart. Having it in the head is not going to save us. The Bible says in James 2:19, it says, "You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder." So the demons, the evil angels, they know all this stuff. It doesn't help them at all. God is saying to us, knowledge is not going to help us. We need to make application in our lives. We need to know we are in trouble. And by the grace of God, we need to be embracing Christ alone as our Savior. And when that happens, then there are going to be true changes in what we think and how we speak and with what we do. And then with the final one here on the topic of obedience. The Bible says, "And Joseph woke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus." So Joseph did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. So when we think about the words of an angel, what does the word angel mean? Angel means messenger. So an angel, a holy angel, is bringing a message from God in heaven to people on earth. That's the job of an angel. Now, a holy angel is always going to do that perfectly. But when we think about pastors, Sometimes pastors in the Bible are referred to as angels. So a pastor is an angel in that the job of a pastor is to bring God's message to the people, not his own message, but always to bring God's message to the people. Do I do that perfectly? I don't. But I'm really trying hard, though, to understand the Bible rightly and to help you understand it rightly so you can benefit from these important messages from God. And then Joseph, the Bible tells us, kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. So what is that implying there? That's implying that after Jesus was born, it's implying that Joseph and Mary were together as husband and wife in a normal way. Now, there are plenty of people in the world today that want to say that Mary was forever virgin. But I don't find that in the Bible, a natural reading of the Bible. Even right here, he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. That's implying that after she gave birth to Jesus, then she was no longer a virgin. And then if we think about what the Bible says here in Matthew chapter 13. So before I read it, understand that these are people in Nazareth who are making these comments. Understand that Jesus, from the time he was about 1 year old until he was 30 years old, he lived in Nazareth. So he was there a long time. His family was there. Everybody kind of knew everybody else. And then when he began his ministry, he moved to Capernaum, which is on the Sea of Galilee. However, though, after he had begun his ministry, he went back to Nazareth in order to do some ministry in that place, the place where he had lived for 29 years. And this is how the people responded to Jesus. They said, "Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us?" So in a very natural reading of the Bible, Mary did not always remain a virgin. I'm not quite sure why people push that topic so hard, but a natural reading of the Bible would tell us that is not the case. Does it really matter in a way? It doesn't. But I'm just trying to make a point. We want to try to understand the Bible as best we can. And then finally, he named him Jesus. So the name Jesus, it means the Lord saves. But let's understand, though, the name Jesus was a bit of a common name back at that time. Sometimes we refer to Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, hey, there's Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, over there's Jesus of Capernaum. So we have like a Jesus probably living in every community there, but we identify him sometimes as the place where he's from. And were there possibly multiple Jesuses in Nazareth? I mean, we don't know that, but he does get identified in that way sometimes. So let's understand that he did his work for you. He did it for me. Without Jesus and the work he did, all of us are lost forever. Let's know that for certain. And then the question is, have we received him? So again, we can know about who he is and what he did, but have we received him? Is he our Savior? Maybe think about it like this. So let's say someone is going to give you a new car for Christmas. But the problem is, though, you have to receive the keys for the car in order to have access to the car. So you have the car, but you never receive the keys. So the car does you no good. So when we think about Jesus, we have to receive him. We have to receive who he is, what he did, and understand how important he is, and he becomes the greatest gift of God to us, and we treasure him above everything else all the way to the end of our lives. May God help us to see him that way, to have him that way, and to continue in him all the way to the end. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Thank you so much for keeping your promise to send your son. Please get everyone's attention soon. We're concerned, dear Father, that many are just going through life and not even thinking about you, about your word, about your son. Please get their attention soon, and may you lead all the lost ones to repent and believe and continue repenting and believing all the way to the end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.